And welcome back to the Party Line Talk Show. Neo Year, Lori Jacobs Hugets. Joining me in studio now is Deacon Ron Boyer, who's going to be honored in Gatnamogin next Tuesday, June 4th. He's going to be honored with a mass, a presentation of a medal, and a meal. And welcome to the program, Deacon Ron.
Thank you very much.
How are you today? I know it's very, very warm in here.
Well, you could say I'm under the weather.
You're under the weather? It's very, very sticky and muggy, and our air conditioning is out. So that's why we have the back door open. And, you know, there's motorboats going by, and there's so much action outside. And here we are stuck in a sweltering studio.
You know, on these kind of types of days, during a homily and a church is full of humidity, I says, can you imagine if you think this is hot?
For sure. So how and when did you know that the church was your calling when you started in the church? Because you've been, associated with the church for many, many years. So how did you know? Did you know when you were a little boy that that's what you wanted to do?
Did I? Excuse me, I'm hard of hearing, too.
Did you, you know, when you were a little boy, mm-hmm. did you feel that you wanted to be connected to the church in some way?
Yes, hard to believe, but this goes back to my days in residential. Yeah, I started out as an altar boy, you know, and I never did move away from the altar, so get hung up on that. In my family, we're all involved in ministry. I have aunt and uncles who were in the Anglican Church, and, you know, they also were in ministry. One spoke the Anishinaabe language on a local radio station, you know, on Sundays to share the good news with people. Then I always told my grandma, I said, you were Anglican. Why did you change? She said, what do you mean? I said, all my Anglican friends are all smiling, and my people don't seem to have much to smile about.
So there's a very important event happening in Gatnamogin that's this coming Tuesday, and you are at the center of this event, the Right Honorable Graydon Nicholas, who's the Lieutenant Governor of New Brunswick. He's going to be here to present you with the Queen's Diamond Jubilee Medal. And it's for your lifetime or your lifelong extensive and outstanding religious and civic duties. So, Deacon Ron, how long have you been involved in the church? I know you're saying since you were a small boy.
Well, actually, my wife and I, wife Sheila, 56 years coming up, we've been traveling in a healing ministry. In French, they call it the Ministère de Santé. We've been traveling, this is our 30th year, and we go about presiding over healing weekends, you know, and giving retreats and things like this, even within the religious communities, and that's a tough nut to crack, but we survive. Yes, and we our particular place we go is in Fonda, New York. We're so fond of that place because it's Kateri's roots, where she began listening to the good word.
Mm-hmm. So why was the Right Honorable Graydon Nicholas chosen to give you or present you the medal on Tuesday? Why was he chosen? And who is he to you? Because I know he is an acquaintance of yours. And so why was he chosen?
Well, it's not to do with favoritism, but Graydon and I go back, oh, mamma mia, more than 30-some years. We are both in the same ministry. We serve the church. You know, he sits on the bench. He sat on the bench for, I guess, close to 30 years before Prime Minister Harper appointed him to a position of lieutenant governor. But he and I served on a commission with the bishops of Canada called the Aboriginal Catholic Reconciliation, Council for Reconciliation. And this was an initiative of the bishops of Canada that was the outcome of the Royal Commission on First Nations in the 90s, yeah.
So Graydon is born and raised on the Tobique Reserve.
Yes, Graydon, he is of the Tobique First Nation, and but the thing is, we known each other. I ran into him years before at a conference, one of the National Tikawita conferences that was hosted in Old Town, Maine. you know, I think it's called Indian Island there, the Mi'kmaq area. And I was walking around during the break. We were all giving workshops. And I seen Graydon sitting in a talking circle. And he fascinated me. I said, I must listen to this young man. Yeah, and it was from that point. You see, he's one of the only judges I met in my lifetime. Justices, provincial court judge that attends Mass 7 days a week. Yes, and there's something about him, his charisma, and so people flock to him. And what does he do in his spare time when he's not busy at the White House, his government house, in New Brunswick? He is faithfully devoted to Our Lady of Guadalupe and Juan Diego, and he travels with a duplicate of the shroud, and he visits local reservations and non-local reservations, you know, because we are all called, and we work together with this. We both go separately, but we are all called to go beyond our native communities. Because to have reconciliation, healing to come about, we can't just sit with our people in a circle, which is a good beginning. But we must go out and sell ourselves to the people, what we are all about. And so as a result, been doing this. This is what I've been doing. I even formed a Kateri Native Community Center at our Kateri Hall years back, and it was accredited by Concordia University, which is my alma mater.
Okay. So on Tuesday, June 4th, the day is going to begin with a Mass. It's at 1 p.m., and it is at our local church here, the St. Francis Xavier Mission. And it's being presided over by Auxiliary Bishop Louis Decaire.
Yes.
And it's followed by a meal at the Knights of Columbus Hall. Mm-hmm. So I understand it's fairly difficult to get a bishop to, you know, come to, because they're so busy. So it's fairly hard to get a bishop. How did the bishop get to be coming to the to Ganawage on Tuesday to preside over the Mass?
Well, the thing is this. The bishop, the head bishop, he's the auxiliary. But the head bishop, the bishop himself, is Lionel Gendreau, who he's very sadly regretted he could not be here because he's also from New Brunswick. And he's a fellow New Brunswicker like Graydon. And he gives his regrets he cannot be here to join him. He knows of him. I think all the Catholic Church in Canada and the States know about him.
Mm-hmm. So how often does it occur that a bishop comes to a small Aboriginal community?
Well, you know, you think about it this way. It's unique. And it is good that they do come to show their presence because we know, personally, we know that there are many supporters that support myself and my ministry locally and out of town. That I even had a call from my friends in Albany, New York, who will be motoring down people who believe in me. So it is important. You know, this is what we, in life, we all need spiritual support, financial support. Well, that's something else. I guess you could say we live on divine providence.
I know you're not involved with the planning of this event, so I can't really ask you too much about, you know, the inside plans. But your family must be really proud of you. What are you hearing from your family members and your friends?
Yeah. Well, you know, it is something. My family, they've been meeting since Kateri's feast day, which was April the 14th, it fell this year. It was anniversary of our late daughter to two years. But I saw them all gathering in our in our tea room at the mission. So I walked in because I never see them all together. So they closed the door in my face. And they said, this is a private meeting. So I went out with my finger in my mouth. And somebody said, what's wrong? I said, my own family threw me out. So this was the part of the planning. And the other planning was my 27th, on April 27th, my 75th. Birthday.
Your 75th birthday. That's right.
Yeah, and
happy belated birthday.
Yeah, they prepared this thing, you know, without my knowing it. And they almost gave me a heart attack because we were in a closing day on the 27th at the Queen Elizabeth because I was invited there.
Oh, that was the Truth and Reconciliation?
The RCCR, the Royal Commission?
TRC.
TRC, yes, that's right. I lose it. Yeah, I was rubbing arms with Paul Martin. Not rubbing arms, but I was able to dialogue a little bit with him. And the former head of the First Nations, Phil Fontaine, and others like that. And we had a chance to privately try and put a plug on how we can work more closer together, and especially with the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. So how does it feel to have Gatnawagi be honoring you in this way on Tuesday?
It doesn't feel good, but you feel it unworthy. You know, why me? You know, I can think of many, many other people who shine a lot brighter than I do, and people that I look up to and respect. And no, so how this came about, I really don't know. I thought when I came on the talk show today, I would promote my good friend Graydon, you know, that I've known so long, because the things that he does, he fascinates me. You know, all his traveling, we met in the Vatican, at the Vatican, for the canonization, and he was summoned back in December to have a private audience with the Pope on Native affairs, and he's also a member of the Knight of Columbus of his area, one of the top ones. And so it's the Knight of Columbus that are encouraging him to travel the globe, speaking on Our Lady Guadalupe and about our struggles as Aboriginal people.
So Our Lady of Guadalupe, explain a little bit about
Our Lady of Guadalupe is better known as the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she appeared to a poor man, a poor peasant by the name of Juan Diego. I can't pronounce his name, his Indian name, but he was on his way to church in December, and the Blessed Virgin stopped in his path, and walking over a mountainside, December. And she said, wait, I want you to build me a big church. But he says, I'm nobody. You have to talk to the bishop. No, no, I'm speaking to you. I want you to carry him the message. He went to the bishop, and they threw him out. Oh, the bishop, because he thought maybe he was not drinking too much, but maybe he was too cold, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So three times in a row, she stopped him on his way to church. He said, listen, I got no proof. They asked me to bring evidence, and this is the last time they'll open the door. So she said, pick those flowers on a hill, and here was all the beautiful colored flowers on a mountain in December, and their weather is similar to ours. So he picked them all up, and he wrapped them in his talmac, like, you know, the thing they wear. He rolled them up, and he ran back to the bishop hurriedly. It was in the winter. And when he got to the bishop's residence, the guard stopped him. And they said, you can't get in. But he said, I must see the bishop. So when he was struggling with them, it fell down, and all the flowers disappeared. And the bishop came, and he said, let him be. And where the flowers were was the portrait of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Blessed Virgin. She appeared in all the regalia of a Native woman, pregnant. And if we theologize that, it means pregnant with our sins, that she's here for all of us.
And where did this happen?
That happened in Mexico, in a mountain. Tepeyac is the name of that place. Today it's a great big cathedral and thing like this, because the bishop, who was a little skeptical, he went ahead and followed the direction from the mother of our Lord, our mother. And when we look at our mother, the earth and all that, we do have a mother. Mm-hmm. Because it recalls me back when John Paul II visited our people in Martyr Shrine, Midland. You know, nobody wanted to go. But then when he addressed us, he said, go back to your ways. Go back to your traditional ways that served you well.
This is the Pope?
Yeah, the Pope said that. John mm-hmm. Paul II. Mm-hmm. He said, go back to the way what kept you as a family, your love for the extended family, your stewardship of Mother Earth, all these things, your chants, your songs, your language, your culture. Because he said, if it's like a culture separated from your belief is like a flower uprooted from the ground. It'll soon wither and die. He says, go back to those. And when you have done that, bring them within the church. Share them. So what that means, sharing, and that's what I've been doing since. I share them when we go out.
So that's what you do, and that's also what Graydon Nicholas does. Mm.
Yes.
Are there other people in First Nations churches that are doing the same, taking the Pope's words and putting it to action?
Yes. Well, actually, the council, I was chairing that council for reconciliation with the bishops for 12 years. And I had a statement from the late, not the late bishop, Pope, but the one who canonized Gaudete de Gaguita, and was recognizing my efforts along with all the group. Yes, and we have 10 of us that were from across the provinces of Canada. There was two religious native nuns, and the rest were all lay people like myself. And Graydon was one of them. We were the first ones called to be chosen there. Why me? I don't know. But had we had known each other. And then I went ahead and make a purifying, and we wanted to bless the circle. And one bishop from the West said, Deacon, we got no time for all this thing. We have to come and work together. Our mandate was to work for our people. I said, for too many years you've been putting the bishops filling our plate with the menu that don't suit us. We are expected to work with you, two bishops here in a circle, to work and serve people we haven't met yet. How can we do that? And we haven't had a chance to meet with one another. So with that, he calmed down, and then I went ahead and purified the circle. And after that, we shared. And it was a lot of weeping. And what this meeting was in Ottawa, the initial meeting. The next one was to be in Vancouver. And you know what the bishop said? Deacon, make sure you bring your pot. So we can snort. I mean, you know, we can, purify. And
mm-hmm. So what were you purifying with? Was it sage, sweetgrass?
Yeah, you got it. That's my particular. I like sage. Mm-hmm. Not because it's good for cooking, but it also, it enhances, purifies.
Do non-native people understand what exactly it means to purify yourself?
Well, excuse me. At the time in Midland, Martyr Shrine, John Paul II said, bring that within the church. And that when they opened the Mass, they always said, let us recall our sins. We're sorry what we did. We did that. This will dub it. So I go through the motion of purification. And as we're symbolizing of washing our eyes, our ears, our heart, our hands, in the direction to the four directions, what we are actually doing is asking the Creator to open our eyes, to remove all the negativity that will stop us from hearing the word of the Creator to be spoken at Mass, and to purify our mouth that we only speak good of other people, that we don't speak anything negative. And when we find something negative, well, then we just keep it within, and that's better known as an act of love or charity.
So there's also a meal at the Knights of Columbus Hall following the Mass. However, there was a deadline of yesterday to sign up to say that, you know, you were interested in going to the meal. But I'm pretty sure, like, if people call the church, the local church, that, you know, maybe, I don't know how strict they are on the deadline. But if you wanted to, and if you're listening and you'd want to reserve a spot, you can call the church at 450-632-6030. And Deacon, there is another number. That's the number I called you yesterday, and I got
that's
you.
That's my office, yes.
Okay, that's your office.
Yes, the Cattery Center.
The Cattery Center, okay. So do you have that number? If
450-638-1546.
So that's 450-638-1546. Mm-hmm. So, you know, many Aboriginal people are talking about unity in our communities. And how do you think an event like this could promote the sense of unity in Kahnawake and also other Aboriginal communities? Because there's going to be people from other Aboriginal communities present on Tuesday.
Yes, this is true. Well, actually, just the fact that the church acknowledges leadership to carry the word, the gospel word, or a word of reconciliation to our people, they chose, like I say, First Nations from across here. And how will they accept that? They've been accepting it well so far. I didn't have any encounter in it. It's the unknown that people fear. But when we have a celebration, we do this. You know, when I started a healing ministry here in Gunawaki in 1990, right after the crisis, we couldn't chase, and there were non-natives coming. Now, you see, the bottom line, that was the result. People from Montreal, our diocese, the Chateauguay and all, they keep coming, and we couldn't chase them away with a stick. I think they used to like what we're snorting. No, meaning what's happening in that circle. And they're crying, they're weeping. They said, we never knew what your people were before.
I really like you saying the snorting.
Yeah, my wife don't like that.
No. But actually, what you're saying is the purification process.
That's right, purification.
Burning the sage,
yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, symbolically cleaning your eyes,
yes.
And your ears and your throat and your heart.
But, you know, and I've been doing ministry right from the universities to the elementary schools in Montreal. And especially in the high school leavings, I'd be invited to West Island to do a ceremony before they close. And I see all these other fellows, I have my ribbon shirt and all the way I'm dressed, and they're going, woo, woo, woo. And I told them, I says, now, if you people promise to give me your undivided attention, I'm going to let you come up when I have my pot burning, you know. And you see, what I'm doing is getting into their culture. Teachers don't seem to reach that. And I recall one principal saying, what is he teaching them? We can't put anything in their heads, and here they're eating out of his hands. It's not my hands. We have to address them as who they are.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, this is Lori Jacobs, New Yero Yudats. And in studio this afternoon, I have Deacon Ron Boyer from Gatnawage. He is going to be honored on Tuesday coming, on June 4th. There's going to be a mass at the Kateri, the church here. And it is the St. Francis Xavier Mission. It starts at 1 p.m., and we're going to take a very quick break and return right after this.
Mornings on K103.
Hi, it's Java. This morning, Garden Yahweh Daibo was in to talk about the Senior B Ladies Lacrosse thing that's going on this weekend. And she mentioned that it was $5 to get in. However, if you wore a Western getup, you'd only have to pay $3 to enter the dance. Paul was already wearing Daisy Dukes and decided to change his outfit for Friday night. How much is it to get in?
It's $5.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
$5 to enter?
$5 to get in, and it's $3 if you wear any kind of Western attire, like a cowboy hat, okay. Cowboy boots.
Paul wants to go in assless chaps.
I got the same ones.
Really? I bet you look a lot better than Paul.
We'll be walking back to back the whole night.
Dancing cheek to cheek. Puts a whole new meaning to that, eh? God damn.
Mornings on K103, weekdays from 5:30 to 10, right here on your monster station, K103 Gunawage and K103radio.com.
And welcome back. This is part two of the Party Line Talk Show. My guest in studio is Deacon Ron Boyer, and we're talking about an event that's taking place this coming Tuesday, June 4th, 1 p.m. at the St. Francis Xavier Mission in Gatnawage. And Deacon Ron, we're coming to the end of the program. So I was just wondering if you wanted to have some parting words just to leave with the listening audience.
Yes, I guess we could say that hopefully from all this, letting our people know that there is goodwill on the outside and they are searching to come, wanting to find a way to break ice to come in here, because this afternoon I'm hearing, having a word with someone from the Bishops of Quebec's office on holding a reconciliation program this during this summer, something, a dialogue with traditionals and, you know, all peoples. And this is what I think is good. I hope this is what will come about it. And I have friends from Agwesasne who will also be here. Hopefully Grand Chief Mike Mitchell, who is recuperating, he said he would do his utmost to be here as well. And my dialogue has been going a long time with the traditionals of Agwesasne, and this is good. It's important.
And when you have these kind of meetings, is it open to everyone, or is it just open to people who are church-going people? Because there are so many different factions of Aboriginal people in all of our communities.
Yeah. The thing is this, we must remember the church is made up of, we are the people. The church is not the church, we are the church. Because the two middle letters, always remember, you are. So we are the church. And what we do is what we make it.
Thank you so much, Deacon Ron, for coming into the studio this afternoon. And I didn't want anybody to think that you were here promoting yourself, because I asked you to come on the show, and you were kind of like, you know, you really wanted to talk about Graydon Nicholas instead of yourself.
Yeah, that's, yes. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I talked you into it. So congratulations on your being honored this coming Tuesday, June 4th at the church here in Gatnawaga. It starts at 1 p.m. You're going to be receiving the Queen's Diamond Jubilee Medal. In a presentation, there's going to be a mass, and there's going to be a celebratory meal with the community. So congratulations once again.
Yeah,
and thanks,
Lori.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us, New Year, Lori Jacobs-Ujets. Tune in all next week for the Party Line Talk Show. Please tune in on Monday. That's going to be June 3rd. It's going to be the May Month in Review show with local journalists. Up next is Timothy Armstrong with the news, followed by Susie Delarome in the 1 o'clock jump. Have a great weekend, Gatnawaga, until Monday. Onigiwahi.